So the last couple weeks, Jesus gave us these incredible parables to contemplate, and he told us what the parable was about and its intent and purpose. So the first one was about prayer and the importance of prayer, the need to pray constantly. Even though at times we grow weary, his parable was about pushing through that weariness and continuing to do what we know we need to do, which is pray, and to pray often and to pray hard. And then last week, the parable was about those who justify themselves, who really have no need of a God because they've already, in their own mind, excused themselves of anything they've done wrong. They've justified themselves, kind of pushing Jesus out of his role as Savior. And now all of a sudden, our readings are going to take a shift, much like this is the beauty of living in Michigan. You know, the seasons, you just changed your clock. Should have seen how many people were here really early, though. You know, it's getting dark out. It's colder. There's a sense of death, a sense of death is the best way of saying it. You look at the trees, they're all, you know, falling, their blossoms, blooms are all gone, and it's just naked trees, and you wonder, what's next for those trees? Are they dying? Are they just taking a nap? What is next? And the question should be for us, too, what happens next when all of our leaves have fallen and our name is called? And we began, you know, just a couple days ago, celebrating the Feast of All Saints, those of our brothers and sisters who pushed through the weariness of this life and persevered in their pilgrim journey and made it who we call saints. And yesterday morning, the church celebrated all of those who have died, and we interceded and prayed, especially here in our parish, for the 23 of our own that we sent back to God, asking that he fulfill the promise he made to them in their baptism, that they too can take their place at the throne where we call the communion of saints. Gives us a lot to think about for our own lives. You look at those names, some of them, you say, well, they've lived a long life. They should have been prepared. And there's a few up there who are very, very young, and you say, why? And clearly, there's a whole bunch in between. There is no guarantee for any of us about the length of our life. And so if we think we're going to put it off until tomorrow, whatever it would be, getting ourselves right with God, getting ourselves right with other people, to put it off is just foolishness. And that's what the Lord has been giving to us, these little insights into the way things are going to go. And this is ultimately where they're going. You and I will all pass away. And will we be ready? So the readings take a turn to look at the last things. And it begins with simple conversion and repentance. And what does that look like? You know, we're in a world today where nothing seems to have any firm foundation, right? It's all fluid. That word. Anyway, some things aren't fluid, and there is a conversion does look like something, and we see it in the very person of Zacchaeus. That's what conversion looks like. Although no two saints are alike, there are certain traces that are identical in everyone's conversion experience. And we have to ask the question, from the first reading, why are we here? It's a fundamental question, but in relationship to the end, we go to the beginning. Say, why are we even? What is God's intention? You know, it's amazing how many people think that God's prolonging his second coming is because he wants to see us suffer. And knowing some of you the way I do, I think it's great. Suffer away. You know, but we play this recording in our head that God is just taking his time because he enjoys our suffering. Have you ever thought that? Honestly? You know, God prolonging himself can go one of two ways. Either we can shrink up and harden up and become cynical and bitter, or we can open ourselves more and more and say, God's grace is still at work. Listen to the Book of Wisdom, this part. This gives us our focus. For you love all things that are. You loathe nothing that you have made. For what you hated, you would not have fashioned. This is wisdom, common sense. How could a thing remain unless you will it? It's amazing to think about that, that we are here simply because God is willing it right now. And our 23 up here, God has willed a different path. You spare all things because they are yours. And here's our answer. Therefore, you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of their sins they are committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. God's taking his time in the hopes that you and I will abandon our wickedness and turn more and more to him. While it seems at times like God is just forgotten us or taking his time because he likes to see us suffer or whatever our reasoning could be, he's taking his time in the hopes that you and I will turn from our wickedness and turn more to him. And now we see what that looks like in Zacchaeus. I cannot imagine anyone more of a definition of sin than Zacchaeus. He is a Jew working for the Romans. So he's hated by his Jewish brothers and sisters because he's betrayed them. It's like when you think of the Nazis and those who were in concentration camps, and they would watch some of their Jewish brothers and sisters start working for the Gestapo as spies or whatever. And you think, how you are betraying your own family. You're with the enemy. That's Zacchaeus. The Romans don't like him. They're using him. And now the Jews don't like him because he's turned on them. He's a tax collector. And all of a sudden, Jesus is passing by. And the image of Zacchaeus is that he's a small man. Isn't that a great image for sin? Small. You're just small. And you can't see anything. Your stature, you've shrunk. I mean, you're trying to see, but you can't because your heart is so hardened. I mean, you're to the point where you have to climb trees to see people walking down the street. That's pretty pathetic. It's just a spiritual image of someone who has just closed in on themselves. And they're just self-absorbed, self-contained. But there is a spark in him that there is in all of us, as we just heard from the Book of Wisdom. God loves his people, and that love is always stirring inside of us, trying to get us to turn back to him, our creator. And all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is in touch with that inner working. We call that grace. And he's willing to be a fool by climbing a tree. Can you imagine someone, a tax collector? I mean, this is a person to be feared as well as hated. I mean, he has an authority, and all of a sudden he just throws it all off and climbs a tree so that he can just see who Jesus is. And that's the question for us this week. Are we willing to go to those lengths to see Jesus as he's passing by? Because he is. Even in this darkened world right now, even in the confusion of our culture, Jesus is still here. Jesus is still alive and well, and he is passing by, offering an opportunity. He wants to stay at your house, which again is that image. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to come and dwell here. Are we willing to to let him in? Will we go to the lengths that Zacchaeus does to just catch a glimpse of him? The desperateness, you can hear it in the story. Or are we become very comfortable with the Jesus that we have formed in our own image and likeness? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us this week to look at ourselves in the light of Zacchaeus. Lord, I'll give half of what I have to the poor. He knows who he is. He knows what he's done. He knows what Jesus is offering him. And if I've extorted anyone, I'll give them four times over. That's incredible. When we do our examination of conscience, do we realize the potential of our wickedness? Do we realize what God is offering to people like us? That despite what we have done or not done, God's offering is incredible. And what is the level of our appreciation or acknowledgement?